Professor, we are almost at the start of the legislative session, and this is a budget session, and as such, there are a lot of items on lawmakers' plates. But maybe let's talk first of all about one carryover item, if we can. That was the attempt by Governor Mark Dayton to have a special session on the health insurance premium issue to try to address those skyrocketing premiums. But of course, there was not success in getting an agreement on that before Christmas, and so therefore it goes over into the 2017 legislative session. Is that going to be kind of first up on the agenda? And if so, do you think that they'll make any progress on it early on?
Well, the Speaker Dowd has said that he wants that to be something that they would address in the very first week. Whether or not that is something they really do, it's always up to speculation. There seems to be pretty significant concern, I think, among all parties to try to help many of these people who are facing these very high increases. And I think in principle the agreement is there, but as they always say, the devil's in the details. And I just don't know what's going to happen once they get into regular session, because we're now going to have many new members. We're going to have a change in control of the Senate. So I expect to see legislation that first week. I expect to hear them to talk about it. Whether or not they really have a consensus on it, I'm not sure, because they really haven't been able to negotiate in terms of reaching an agreement, taking into consideration all the new members of the Senate and the House.
They seem to be fairly close to an agreement on the short-term relief. Long-term solutions, as it were, to this continuing increase in health insurance premiums, I assume, is a much more difficult issue. Can they do one without the other? In other words, pass the short-term relief early on to help folks, and then do the long-term relief going further into the session, or don't you think that's possible?
I think it's possible to do the short-term relief, but uh-huh. You're absolutely correct in the sense that there is a linkage. There's actually a linkage between short-term relief, a longer-term problem, and then more complex problem is to look at what Congress is going to do, because Donald Trump and the Republicans have proposed repealing the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, of which is the basis for Minsure. And looking to see what they're going to do at the federal level has a huge bearing regarding what the state of Minnesota can or should do in terms of Minsure. And so we have several balls sort of in play at the same time here. Short-term fix at the state level, longer-term fix, and how both of them are affected by federal action. And there's a lot of timing issues here. And it could very well be that one of the very first things that happens when Trump takes over on January 20th in the first couple of weeks is maybe they repeal the Affordable Care Act, and that would then give the state of Minnesota some freedom to do something. I think it's just at this point a little premature to be able to figure out exactly what's going to happen until we know what the federal government's going to do in terms of the Affordable Care Act. The other way I could sort of describe this too is that the feds are talking about saying, okay, we'll repeal the Affordable Care Act, but delay that repeal or effective date until 1 or 2 or 3 years down the line. If they were to do that, that suggests one type of fix as opposed to an immediate repeal.
It really puts Minnesota lawmakers in a pretty tough position, doesn't it? I would assume that they've got to have a pretty good idea of what Washington, D.C. is going to do before they do any sorts of reforms to health care here in Minnesota.
You're absolutely correct. One reform that is probably out, though, is that earlier this year, Governor Dayton proposed at one point saying that maybe the state of Minnesota would just get rid of its own health care exchanges and go in with the federal health care exchanges. Well, that option probably no longer is on the table, especially given, the likelihood that the Affordable Care Act might get repealed, which means the federal exchanges are gone. And so if the state of Minnesota wants to fix Minsure, and it wants to continue, you know, with this policy, even if the Affordable Care Act is repealed, it's going to have to do something on its own and not look necessarily at the federal level, at least in the short term, for any type of fixes to help them out.
Let's look at some of the other things that are on lawmakers' plates. Obviously, the big thing is the state budget. We have a $1.4 billion surplus, which some will say makes lawmakers' jobs easier, and some will say it makes them more difficult. The governor will bring out his budget proposal at some point early on in the session. How much spending do you think that Governor Dayton is going to include in that, particularly fresh spending, given that he does not have a majority, a Democratic majority, then he won't in either the Minnesota House or the Senate?
I think the governor is going to probably propose the budget that he wants to propose in terms of the spending and perhaps fight this out. And I say that because this is really his last budget session. He's not running for a third term, and there are certain things he still wants to accomplish. And I actually expect him to put out all the proposals at a funded level that he wants, and then eventually see what he can get as a result of that. And so I can imagine a scenario right off the bat where part of his budget looks like dead on arrival in the House and the Senate, but because he holds the veto, because he can eventually veto whatever the Republicans send to him, he has some leverage. And so I don't expect to see necessarily a compromised budget on his part, but exactly what he was hoping he would get if, in fact, he were to get Democrats and Democrats control both chambers of the House, and the Senate.
So a big ask coming out of the starting gate is what you're going
to do. That's what I'm expecting, a big ask, and then hopes to get at least that proverbial half a loaf, if not more. I really, in some sense, see the governor in a position of going for broke. Going for broke and saying this is his last chance to make his final legacy on a few different things that he still wants to accomplish. And so it's going to be, I suspect, a big proposal. And keep in mind, the governor doesn't wait until after the election to put together the budget proposal. This has been going on for several months with state agencies. They do some refinement after the last fiscal forecast comes in. They do some refinement small after the election. But for the most part, a lot of the budget numbers are pretty much determined early in November, and they're putting, again, the final pieces together going into December and January. So I think they're going to go with, or the governor's going to go with, the budget that he really wants.
The one of the key areas of the state budget is also a carryover, and that's the tax bill, which didn't make it through due to a number of factors, including partisan bickering during the regular session, and they tried to resurrect it for a special session, and that didn't work either. Are we kind of just back to square one then? Do we rebuild this over again, whatever tax policy changes there are or aren't, then start from scratch?
Yeah, I think it's essentially starting from scratch. First off, recall that bill is dead. You know, so it's not like that's on the table anymore in terms of the tax bill that was vetoed. When the session ended, so did all legislation. Everything has to be reintroduced. Again, we're going to have now a changed power dynamics. We have quite a few new members of the legislature. Probably we're treating that tax bill as something brand new. The Republicans have more leverage now to do things that they want than they did when that original piece of legislation was passed and then vetoed several months ago. So I basically view, even though these are carryover issues that are still going on, view them as starting from scratch all over again, of which we don't necessarily have any kind of consensus among the legislature and the governor.
And in that same area, what about a bonding bill, which was supposed to be the task of the last legislative session, but that didn't happen either. That fell apart in the closing moments of the regular session. What do you think is going to happen with that? Are we going to have a bonding bill this year?
It's going to be tough because just for the legislature to get through the budget is always very difficult. And we've seen in the last few years, a lot of special sessions. We've seen several government shutdowns. I think it's going to be very complicated just for them to reach agreement on that, especially if the governor puts out sort of the big budget that he wants. And so trying to do that and do a bonding bill at the same time, along with perhaps pent-up demand by Republicans for a whole bunch of other sort of regular legislation, it's going to be difficult, not impossible, and I could very well see the bonding bill getting pushed off to 2018, which would normally be the next bonding year. It would be very unusual to see Minnesota to do 2 years in a row, this year and in 2018, back-to-back bonding bills. And so that's something that might slide. In fact, I think the governor might put as a higher profile, as a higher priority, trying to do something in terms of transportation and infrastructure, clearly transportation, And then maybe hope the following year to get to a very large bonding bill.
And you anticipated my next question, that transportation bill, speaking of things that slide year after year after year at the Minnesota legislature, do you think the governor will basically try to integrate the transportation funding in some way, shape, or form in his budget itself? Now, I realize that's not totally doable, but that he would try to link the two together strongly so that he would try to increase his chances of getting something in the transportation area.
Yeah, I do. I actually see him trying to do several things. One, I think the grand plan would be if he could figure out a way of linking a bonding bill, the regular budget, and infrastructure and transportation in a very intricate way. And if he were to do that, that might make it much more complex for legislators to get anything done by May. But on the other hand, it might perhaps increase some likelihood that he gets more of the things that he wants. But I definitely see him trying to figure out some way of getting some of his infrastructure and transportation priorities into the tax bill, perhaps into the budget for MnDOT. But yes, I'm anticipating him trying to come up with something, because again, this is his last shot of being able to do one of the remaining puzzles that he got elected governor for, or when he said he was running for governor, he wanted to solve sort of the infrastructure transportation problems in Minnesota and get us on what he believed was the right course again. I don't think he sees us there yet, and so he's got one more shot to be able to do that.
Finally, Professor, and we've talked along this line before, I know that your feeling on it is, and I think the feeling of a lot of people is that Mark Dayton is going to have a tough row to hoe in his last couple of years in office. But my question of you is more specifically for the 2017 legislative session. Given this whole mix that we have divided government, I guess, on steroids now this time around, even that Mark Dayton is facing a hostile House and a hostile Senate, I think, fundamentally. What are the chances of getting all this done on time, or do we potentially go to a shutdown, a government shutdown again this year?
First off, I think it's a very high probability that we're going to go into overtime. The legislature seems incapable of getting its work done, by the May deadline. And some of it is because of partisanship. Some of it may be simply because of the complexity of government now that it's difficult to get the work done in the amount of time that they have. So I think it's pretty certain we're going to see some of this going into special session. And then at the same time, given the partisanship that's there, I would not be the first to say at this point that we shouldn't be thinking about shutdown, or at least threatened shutdown again. And so we should be preparing ourselves for that. In the last 18 years, we've had two shutdowns, another partial shutdown. We had a major constitutional crisis in terms of a governor using his unallotment authority. The norm seems to be now not to get the budget done on time and to run the risk, if not the actuality, of actually going into a government shutdown. And I think that would be a pretty good prediction again for 2017.